Wednesday, Michael Malice here with some fresh nightshade for you to chow down on. Got a lot of stories to cover here, such as why is Malice all of a sudden moving to the right? There we go. I like that better. Yeah, it's a little bit better. First story is there were dueling bills today to reopen the government, and thankfully, neither of them worked. It's day 34 of the shutdown. In a 52-44 vote, the Senate rejected House-backed legislation that would fund the government through February 8th. Not that long. The Senate, in a 50-47 vote, blocked legislation endorsed by President Trump that promised $5.7 billion for his wall, which just got 10 feet lower, and granted temporary protection for undocumented immigrants. Using the verbiage in this article, you could tell it came from Politico, undocumented immigrants. The bills were expected to fail and fail badly. Six Republicans, let's name them off, Susan Collins from Maine, Cory Gardner, Colorado, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, who's retiring, Mitt Romney of Utah, Dave Smith's candidate, and Johnny Isaacson of Georgia joined with the Democrats to vote in favor of the continuing resolution. As Cory Gardner said, I've said all along we should fund border security, keep the border open, government open, and said we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Fun fact, next time someone uses that expression, do you know where it came from? I do. This is not a joke, not a troll. The original expression was Lyndon Johnson making fun of the man who later became president, Gerald Ford. He was House Minority Leader at the time, I believe, and said, Gerald Ford can't walk and fart at the same time, and it got toned down to this. Cory Gardner said, Coloradans don't understand why Congress can't get its job done. Because they're all high, baby. When asked about the Republican defections, House Senate Majority Whip John Thune, who's from South Dakota, said the members are frustrated and want to do everything they can to move the process forward. These votes, two votes, mark the first. And by the way, this is kind of similar to the Brexit situation in the UK, where it's like, all right, what we have sucks. It's not working for anybody. What do you propose? Well, this gets like a quarter of the votes, and this gets a quarter of the votes, and this gets a quarter, you know what I mean? So there's no majority to be had anywhere, which is wonderful. These are both filibuster votes, so they would need 60 votes on either of them. Anyway, this is the first time the Senate has formally moved on government funding since the shutdown began, and senators this week signaled a note of optimism, saying that even though Thursday's bills were going to fail, they at least represented movement and possibly the start of negotiations. I don't know about that. I think we got a ways to go, in my opinion. As Thune said, I think it certainly puts everyone on record. And if nothing else, I would hope at least that this would get the conversation going again. God, this is such corporate doublespeak. You elect a fucking robot from Utah to be a senator, and all of a sudden everyone's like, well, conversations were had and progress was made, and it's a good start on a bold future. That doesn't mean anything! After the Senate vote, Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer met for about 30 minutes. Schumer emerged from the meeting smiling, saying, we're talking. Okay. About the thing is, as everyone knows, if Trump wasn't president, this wouldn't be happening. Because whoever that Republican president would be, or certainly a Democratic president would be, they'd be cutting a deal by now. And the irony is that Trump ran on that he knows how to make deals. And in the long term, that may turn out to be true. But in the short term, he's the one who's not making a deal with these people. So that's a very interesting strategy on his part. About 20 dozen House Democrats. 20 dozen? What? Two dozen. The fuck is this article?
About 20. We count everything in dozens now.
About 20 dozen. God damn it, Politico. This is why story number four is going to be so interesting. About 20 dozen. We're going to say 20 dozen. 240. House Democrats marched over the Senate during the vote in an unsuccessful effort to pressure Republicans to back the clean spending bill. Now, Trump tweeted out two things last night after the show. He said, number one, as the shutdown was going on, Nancy Pelosi asked me to give the State of the Union address. I agreed. She then changed her mind because of the shutdown, suggesting a later date. This is her prerogative. I will do the address when the shutdown is over. I am not looking for an alternative venue for the State of the Union address because there's no venue that can compete with the history, tradition, and importance of the House chamber. I look forward to giving a great, he put quotes, State of the Union address in the near future. So this round goes to Pelosi. Because remember yesterday we discussed, they stared each other down. She said, you can't give the talk while the government's closed. And he's like, well, you said it's because of security. Security's fine. She goes, tough shit, motherfucker. It's not happening. And then he's like, yeah, I guess you're right. So, and the teleprompter's gone. That's okay. I can just, oh, and now Nancy Pelosi's picture's gone. Are we having a meltdown?
No.
Where's the teleprompter? I'm just like Obama. I can't talk without a teleprompter.
I think there's a loose cable.
That was the end of the article, that particular article.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay, so... Oh, then it appears again. That's the other article. Okay, yeah, got it. Yeah. Got it. So Nancy Pelosi went on TV today and had some things to say about this situation. Short one-minute video. Let's take a look.
Understand why. When he was asked about people going into food lines and pantries and the rest, he says he doesn't understand why they have to do that.
I don't know if she's talking like this because of... She had some kind of, I'm not even joking, she had some kind of small stroke, or if there's some kind of dentures thing going on, or she's shot like this, and she didn't used to talk like that. So there's some kind of speech impediment happening with her, which does not in any way mean there's some kind of cognitive issue happening with her necessarily. It could be a muscular thing or a nerve thing. But it's interesting. Okay, go ahead.
Is this the let them eat cake kind of attitude, or call your father for money, or... This is character building for you. It's all going to end up very well, just as long as you don't get your paychecks. I don't quite understand why, as hundreds of thousands of men and women are about to miss a second paycheck tomorrow. I met with the mayors yesterday, and in addition to speaking with them, I've heard from them about all of the stories and what it means in their communities in terms of the individual families, but also the impact on the economy of economies of their communities. We wanted to...
Pause this. 800,000 people are laid off, not getting paychecks. They missed one paycheck. There's 350 million people in America. This is not even 1%. It's like, what is it, like a quarter of a percent of the population. The idea that these is destroying the idea that if you miss one paycheck, your community is destroyed. And it's, I'm assuming that many of these people are distributed throughout the United States. It may be a fact that it's fucking up Virginia, because if they're all localized around D.C. But 800,000 out of 350 million, not a lot of people, a third of a percent, quarter of a percent. So the idea that communities are being devastated, and it's like tumbleweeds, children are without formula, mothers' boobs are without milk. Give me a fucking break. Go ahead.
Work together, get back to work, to lower the cost of health care for all Americans.
Why would you need to lower it? Obamacare lowered it for everybody. I thought the whole point, remember what Obamacare used to be called? The what? Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act, and now the first thing she wants to do is lower the price of health care. English is my second language, and I'm not a big fan of sarcasm, but doesn't affordable mean it doesn't need to be made cheaper? Maybe we should be making like housing cheaper, because that's pretty unaffordable for many people. But then I'm a New Yorker, so maybe I'm a little prejudiced in that regard. Okay, go ahead.
Paychecks by building infrastructure, what the president says he wants to do, and to move on with our HR 1 to bring dignity and reduce the role of big, dark, special interest money in politics. We are working on these initiatives. We hope that we can open government so that we can fully concentrate in this way. And in that case, we urge the president once again, thank you for recognizing that it's inappropriate to have a State of the Union address where people are working hard, very hard, to protect all of us in that room and not getting paid.
Well, this is bullshit, as we all know, simply because there were a couple of bills put forward by the Republicans to actually pay the people, and Democrats voted against it, which I don't blame them. I mean, they're playing hardball, and that's fine. But the idea that, like, oh, these people can't get paid is a lie. There was a bill. Let's pay them. They said no. Okay. So, and the fault, you can point fingers all day. It doesn't matter. The corporate press is trying to do a good job of drumming up empathy for these poor government employees who have missed a paycheck, even though they get paid far more than they would on the market and have benefits up the wazoo and pensions and all this other good stuff, which is coming out of all of the rest of our money. And somehow, you know, it sounds to me, if you listen carefully, you could hear all the violins in the world playing at once, because this is a bigger tragedy, without exaggeration, than 9/11 times a trillion. So 800,000 workers are bracing for their second missed paycheck. I don't think any single person listening to this show has had a time in their life when they didn't go a month without a paycheck, whether through unemployment or something else. Between jobs, they got fired. Everyone has been through it. It sucks. You know what makes it suck less? When you're not getting the paycheck, but you know you still got a job and you're just going to get paid later. That makes it a lot fucking easier than if it's like, all right, I'm out of work for 4 weeks now. I've been hitting the phones, sending out resumes. No one's calling me. I've been there. You've probably been there. It's awful. It is scary. This is not that. These people all have their jobs, and they every single time you had a situation like this, they all ended up getting paid, plus with overtime. So cry me a fucking Potomac River. And according to Politico, the White House, listen to how they frame this. These people are the devil. The White House is facing an intensifying backlash from who? From you. From the corporate press. Put up the spin, please. This is just became a spin segment. God damn it. The White House is facing... No, you are fomenting an intensifying backlash over seemingly out of touch. This is complete propaganda. There we go. Do we have the music? I'll shut up. No, we don't have the music. Oh, there we go. Intensifying backlash over seemingly... Look at this sentence. It's just gorgeous in its depravity. Intensifying backlash over seemingly out-of-touch comments from Trump's group of largely wealthy advisors. Has there ever been any president in the last 40 years where all their advisors weren't millionaires? How is that even... How the fuck do you get on a radar screen of a president without being really successful in your industry or career? It's not possible. There are a couple of types. There's one, you gave the president's campaign, the nominee's campaign, a lot of money, and this is a payback. If you're giving people a lot of money, you got a lot of money. Or you've had a long time in politics and you got wealthy that way. Or you've had a long time in business, you've gotten wealthy that way. No matter what it is, they're gonna be wealthy. But oh, they're all out of touch. Jesus fucking Christ. The comments are also handing Democrats leverage as party leaders and Trump have failed to reach a compromise on the wall funding. One of the latest missteps, wow. Okay. Came when on Thursday when Ross went on CNBC, Trump advisor Ross, to encourage federal workers to seek low-interest loans to tide them over and appear to minimize the shutdown's toll on thousands of workers who live paycheck to paycheck. As he put it, these are basically government-backed loans because the government has committed these folks will get paid back once this thing gets settled down. So there is not really a good excuse why there really should be a liquidity crisis now. I literally just said that, and everyone knows this. Now, true, the people might have to pay a little bit of interest, but the idea that it's paycheck or zero is not a valid idea. Oh, my God, look at this. Look at this lie. Federal employees have reported going to homeless shelters to find food for their families. I'm sorry. If you are paycheck away, from not having food as a federal employee, bullshit. That is absolute fucking bullshit. Homeless shelters? Don't they mean soup kitchens? Federal employees... Can you look up average salary of a federal employee? I bet you it's 90 grand. I bet you it's something like 80 or 90 grand, minimum 60. One paycheck away from fucking getting food. They don't have credit cards?
In 2017, in fiscal 2017, the average federal employee salary in the district was $115,000.
If you are making $115,000 a year and you are paycheck away from going to a homeless shelter to get food, you are clearly either an addict or a gambler or some fucking thing. This makes no sense on any level. Even if you're in New York and you're making $115,000 a year, you are not one paycheck away from going to a homeless shelter to find food for their family. When asked about this, lie. He said, how the fuck are you going to a homeless shelter and going to work? When? After work? You're in your fucking, what are you wearing to work that you're going to a homeless shelter? Your nice suit? When asked about this, Ross said, well, I know they are, and I don't really quite understand why. Yeah. He argued with loans backed by the guaranteed back pay, federal workers should be able to find the money to carry them through the shutdown. Regardless of the individual cost in federal employees, he said the shutdown won't be too damaging. You're talking about 800,000 workers, and while I feel sorry, 800,000 workers, if they never got their pay, which is not the case, but if they never got it, you're talking about a third of a percent on GDP. So it's not like it's a gigantic number overall. Yeah. I should be advising this fucking president.
Can I make a quick addendum to the salary?
Yes, please.
So 115,000 is in D.C. That's the highest average. And then Wyoming is the lowest average at 63,000.
If you're making $63,000 a year in Wyoming and you're one do they have homeless shelters in Wyoming? Maybe in Laramie or some shit. If you're making $63,000 a year and you let's suppose literally that's $5,000 a month. It's a little more than $5,000 a month. Let's suppose take home is $3,000. Let's suppose your rent in Wyoming is $1,500, right? Let's suppose, which is insane. Your car payment's $500. You got $1,000 for food. And you only missed one paycheck and you saw the shit was coming. So maybe that one week you're not having sushi in Wyoming every night, which is probably going to be expensive. And you go to Applebee's or whatever plan B is in fucking Wyoming. And that's not to denigrate Wyoming. I just mean when I'm in the Midwest, the food choices are very poor. And thanks to Andrew Zimmern, they're not going to get better. Oh, my God. I'm so triggered. I am so fucking triggered. I have made $60,000 a year when I was in New York. And I have been without pay after I was fired or between jobs. I was not going to a homeless shelter. I didn't even have to go to McDonald's, which would not be the end. The idea that if you have to go to McDonald's for 2 weeks and eat like McDonald's salads, and this is basically like living through the Anne Frank years, is bullshit. They're blatantly lying. Nancy Pelosi quickly pounced on the comments, characterizing them as a let them eat cake attitude. Oh, they have cake at homeless shelters? Sure, why not? As she said, he doesn't understand why they have to do it. I don't quite understand why, as hundreds of thousands of men and women are about to miss the second paycheck tomorrow. Chuck Schumer also compared him to Marie Antoinette, saying that he's a billionaire while many federal employees live paycheck to paycheck. These comments are appalling and reveal the administration's callous indifference toward the federal workers it is treating as pawns. You know, they shouldn't be eating cake. They should be eating shit. The idea that you're making six figures and you're complaining that you missed one paycheck and you're upset that your one paycheck was delayed is so. This is why these people are treated with such unmitigated contempt. Yeah, you're right. This is absolutely a fucking night rage segment. And he says, Secretary Ross, they just can't call the stockbroker and ask them to sell some of their shares. Yes, they can. They can. Or cash in the Bitcoin, credit card, it's in the bank. Like, are we supposed to pretend? Let's suppose you're a federal employee and you actually got fired. You're telling me if you don't have a job within 2 weeks, you're going to a homeless shelter to get food? How is that even theoretically possible? And it's not just that one person, that it's like happening a lot. The fuck? Last Thursday, he tried to backpedal in his tone. He said that the administration's aware of the hardships they face, but he was trying to make sure that they're aware there are possible other things that could somewhat help mitigate their problems. And other Trump officials received backlash. Here are some of them. Kevin Hassett, who's head of the CEA, Council of Economic Advisors, got flack after comparing the shutdown to vacation. Yeah. Saying it could leave workers better off because they'll get back pay and many aren't having to report to work. How is that wrong? They are guaranteed to get paid. Some of them don't have to go to work. If you get paid not to go to work, that's even better than a vacation.
It's the American dream.
It's the American dream. Most vacations, you're not getting paid and you're not working. A paid vacation is the shit. And Lara Trump, in this seat, on Bold, was criticized earlier this week, hosted by Carrie Sheffield. She goes, listen, it's not fair to you, and we all get that, but this is so much bigger than any one person. Yeah, tough shit. I found very few people who are sympathetic to the plight of these federal workers. You know who I'm much more sympathetic for? Is the actual Dreamers and the illegal aliens. Like, they are the ones who have to worry about food. Like, I have much more sympathy for someone who's got a shitty life in Mexico. Maybe there's a lot of gang violence. They're crossing the border because they're like, I got to get the fuck out of here. I know America's, it's not welcoming with open arms. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get an apartment. I got to, you know, it's going to suck. I better have an anchor baby, whatever. I have a lot more sympathy with that position than with someone who's making six figures and is like, oh, I missed the paycheck. I've got to go to work. I'm still going to get paid like next month or in 2 months. So guess I'm going to take food away from the fucking homeless. There's a finite amount of food there for those homeless people. That's not for you. In fact, this was a punishment on Impractical Jokers. On Impractical Jokers, it's a good show. At the end of every episode, one of the four guys has to have a punishment, and he has to do it. And one of the punishments was the guy went to box things for homeless shelters, do some sorting and inventory, and he had to just pop open the bags and start eating them. And there were hidden cameras, and he wanted to kill himself because it was humiliating. And then the other volunteer was like, what the fuck are you doing? This is for people who in need. And he's like, sorry. And they're like, you have to keep doing it. And he kept keep doing it. That's what they're doing while making six figures. You people are the devil. And I know from the devil. Okay. Now, here's some layoffs I also feel a little bit bad about. Because in many cases, these are naive kids who have been sent down a wrong path. Now, this is from CNN. HuffPo's parent company, Verizon, announced a 7% cut to staff in its media division, which also includes Yahoo and AOL. So within hours of this news breaking, BuzzFeed confirmed it'll lay off 15% of its staff. HuffPo is closing down their HuffPo opinion section. A lot of people made jokes about this, like, haha, the whole thing about HuffPo's opinion. Fine. The point is, the difference between me and some other people, it's like, I don't want to kill the president or wish harm on any president. I want to abolish the presidency. So when people are like, oh, Trump sucks or Obama sucks, like, if you get rid of him, there's another president. It doesn't change anything, really, or it does to some extent, but not anywhere near what I would want. So it's like, yeah, I don't hate these people because I hate their positions, that they're spreading poison, and not in the funny way like I do. So it's sad, in a sense. It's like, yeah, I want their jobs to be gone, but I want them to live happy lives using their skills in a positive way, helpful way. So Gannett, which is the nation's largest newspaper chain, shared grim stories throughout the day on Wednesday as the company shed dozens of staffers. About 1,000 jobs were lost nationwide this week at HuffPo. The layoffs were set in motion Thursday morning, and the site itself reported that employees began receiving calendar invitations to meet with HR later that day. Ooh, that's rough. That's rough. I've been there. It is absolutely rough. The cuts come a month after Verizon announced it was taking a $4.6 billion write-down, a move that left it with a value of just $200 million on Oath. Oath changed its name to Verizon Media this month, and they go, our goal is to create the best... Anytime corporate media takes a hit, I'm happy. I feel bad for some of these kids, but not all of them. They said, Verizon Media spokesperson said, our goal is to create... Listen to this... And notice how much it sounds like John Thune giving that corporate doublespeak from the Senate earlier in this episode. Listen to this. Why am I pointing with my pen? Our goal is to create the best experiences for our customers and the best platforms for our customers. Today marks a strategic step toward better execution of our plans for growth and innovation into the future. Isn't literally every day a strategic step toward better execution of their plans for growth and innovation to the future? Isn't that what the whole point of work is? Like, literally every single day? The layoff will affect 800 employees, and on Thursday, some HuffPo employees who had been let go began sharing their stories on Twitter, including Jason Chirkus, who had been nominated for Pulitzer in 2016, and Brian Magars, who was head of opinion. He goes, I and the rest of the team have been let go. Nick Wing, a HuffPo reporter, said that he too was laid off, and also Laura Bassett, who is a culture and politics reporter. As Bassett tweeted, it's been a wonderful 8 years at HuffPost, and I'll miss my newsroom family more than anything. Here's where it gets ironic. The HuffPost employees had previously formed a union, with the Writers Guild of America ratifying their first union contract in 2017. 15 members of the union were laid off today. The layoffs also affected those in management who were not in the union. Today's a tough day at HuffPost. A number of good people lost their jobs, despite Verizon taking in nearly $4 billion in government-funded tax breaks last year, the union said in a statement. Verizon bought AOL in 2015 for $4.4 billion, and in 2016, Verizon bought Yahoo. McAdam stepped down as CEO last year, former Verizon CEO Lowell McAdam. And HuffPo was co-founded by Arianne Huffington. She stepped down in 2016, was replaced by Lydia Polgreen from the New York Times, whose Twitter timeline is the mother of all dumpster fires. Polgreen said, it's a tough day for the site, and the staff was losing some talented and beloved colleagues. And she just starts lying. We are deeply committed to quality journalism that reflects what matters most to our diverse audiences across the globe. HuffPost is aligning its talents and investments to areas that have high audience engagement, differentiation, and are poised for growth at a time where our mission means more than ever. It's always the most important thing ever. Yeah, yeah, whatever. And the last story is something that is a little bit disturbing. Netflix. This was trending today on Twitter, and I downloaded it. I'm scared to watch. So Netflix is debuting a show called Conversations with a Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes. And as they put it, it's one of the most chilling offerings to date. The documentary comes on the 30th anniversary of Bundy's execution and features hours of unheard audio from the killer, who confessed to the brutal murders of 36 women and young girls during the 70s. Jesus Christ. As well as the unheard footage of Bundy himself, the documentary also features testimonies from women who met him and lived. It all sounds very grisly, I agree. And now Netflix has subtly advised caution before settling down to watch it. As they put it in a tweet, for those of us with a PhD in true crime podcasts, and that's like to make a killer or to create a killer, creating a killer, whatever it was called. I didn't like it.
Making a murderer.
Making a murderer. Thank you. I don't want to have mistakes on my show. Thank you very much. Conversation with a Killer. The Ted Bundy tapes is now streaming online. Maybe don't watch it alone. And they put X. I don't know what X means in this context.
Hugs and kisses?
Yeah, that's what usually means, hugs. Or is X the hug or is X the kiss?
I don't know. What did Bundy like to do? Kiss, right?
Well, I think Bundy isn't as bad as Ed Gein. Who was the inspiration for Texas Silence of the Lambs and Texas Chainsaw Massacre and all that stuff. So I just wanted to give you guys some other news. A week from tomorrow is the second Arduous March. We have our 40 bottles. We have Anthony. I've got some bad news. Real bad news. Matt Eisman will not be able to attend. He has a gig that he has to go to, so he will not be here. So very unfortunate to hear that. We have the two guys from A Fair One, Eastside Dave, me, Kumia, Joanne from Morning, Bill Schultz from Morning. I think Gino might actually not be here now because my understanding is they're doing in Hot Water Live on Philadelphia. I'll ask Gino. I'm going to be on Morning on Monday morning. I'll ask Gino about that because it's not as if I told him the date and emailed him and had a commitment in writing and announced it publicly and now he's going to be in a completely other city. No, it's nothing like that at all. And it's perfectly fine. I'm fine. I'm very happy about it. Anyway, it's going to be 40 bottles. We're going to get – oh, and the two guys from A Fair One, right?
Yep, Tommy and Shane.
Tommy and Shane. Affair. I always get that confused with Two Drink Minimum. I will never be able to keep them straight in my head. Two Drink Minimum. Oh, Pantelis might be here theoretically. I don't know. We will find out. Hopefully he is. He's an awesome, awesome guy. So with all that stuff under our belt, do you have anything else? Nope. I will wish you all sweet dreams.